Oh my God. Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. We have a wonderful collection of wildness for you today. But first off, as always, I want to thank everyone for following the podcast, rating, reviewing, subscribing, commenting, whatever it is you do, wherever you do it. Thank you to the lovely folks over at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. If you want to get in on the action, have your comments, questions, whatever read here on the podcast, go to patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. Sign up for free to get updates and to check out some behind-the-scenes stuff, including what's coming from Wandering One Studios itself and also from a stream. I've got some interesting stuff that's on the pipeline, that's in the pipeline right now and on the site over there. But you can email me, and you can email me your questions, comments, and whatnot, and other stuff and things. And then you can be part of the legacy here on the Wandering One podcast. I'll read your comments on the air. Trust me, unless you ask me to, I don't disclose your names. So that said, we're also on Twitch. That's my private Twitch channel. Not private, but my personal Twitch channel. Twitch.tv/LinkIB. Doing some gameplay today. Which is March 18th, 2026. It's a Wednesday. Very brisk day, actually. The last day or so, the temperatures dropped from the 80s down into like the 50s, which I don't necessarily mind, but you know, you're kind of switching gears, getting into that. Okay, we're going to get our we'll get our 2 weeks of winter. We get our 3.5-4 weeks of spring, and then we're going into summer for the next like 7 months. Here in Florida, and Florida has other plans. I wonder if it doesn't have to do with all the tumult and turmoil that's coming out of everywhere these days, but who knows? But yeah, if you want to see more stream stuff, you can catch me over there. Twitch.tv/LinkIB. Links are in the description. There's one link tree down there. One-stop shop for all things, you know, that you want to check out. The podcast, obviously, is there. But we also got the Twitch channel, the merch store over on Streamlabs where you can pick up hats. Not hats yet. Hats are coming. Sorry, that's part. I spoiled a little bit, but yeah, hats are on the way. T-shirts, hoodies, mugs, stickers, that kind of thing. More merchandise is on the way. If you want something cooler, different, send me a message over on Patreon and ask me. Maybe we could put it together for you. We'll see how it goes. Yeah, as things start to pop up over there, I actually want to put together some prize packages at some point. Trying to push to get this thing up over 500 listens every week. It's a push. It's a long push, but I think it's doable. I think it's something I can accomplish this year, is getting the podcast to average over 500 listens a week. I think at present, I'm not mistaken, I think at present it's lurking a little closer to about, I want to say maybe like a, let's say in the last week, maybe about 120. No, actually 158 listens every week. So it's coming up. It's moving right along. So thank you all very much for the support. I would love if you share it and, share it with other people. The QR code's in the, I'm going to be putting that up in some social posts on Blue Sky. So if you have Blue Sky and you follow me over there, you can just pull that up and show it to people and they can check out the podcast themselves. Super quick and easy. I'm trying to make it as easy as possible for everyone. Without any further ado, let's get after it, man. So if you heard me giggling, wow. Some of you may remember a rapper from the like late 90s, early 2000s, goes by the name of Afro Man, most famously known back then for his song I Got High. If you haven't heard it, trust me, look up Afro Man. I'm not going to embarrass myself or do the man's catalog of work any injustice by attempting to try to rap and sing over it right now. My throat's a little rattly, if you could probably hear it. But if you've never heard I Got High, oh goodness, we're going to get into why I'm so tired lately too. You know it once you heard it. But apparently he's been the target of some tomfoolery, as one might say, in his home state of Ohio. Because, you know, Ohio's super cool to black people. You know? And yeah, I guess the police, the sheriffs in his county have harassed him. They've attempted to plant evidence on his property, disconnected his home security system so that they couldn't be recorded while they attempted a search of his property. And he's fired back at them with some diss tracks, basically, particularly aimed at the sheriff's department and a handful of deputies that were involved in the searches of his home. And now the department's suing him for defamation of character to the department and certain individuals, as well as invasion of privacy, because it is kind of a small area and people talk and word gets around. I guess some of these deputies' less than stellar behaviors have come to light, and as rappers are wont to do, he's like, if you want to let people know about it, you put it in the song, and wow. I mean, that's pretty much all I can say is just wow. I got the chance to watch a couple of videos that are coming out of that courtroom. One in which the ex-wife of the current, I believe, sheriff actually testifies in defense, sort of Afro Man's diss track in the lyrics. And then another one where one of the officers in question, who he's called out via social media, and I think in one of the songs, I didn't watch that whole video. I could not bring myself to start watching it. I knew I had to get a podcast out right away. Oh man. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. I just kind of scrolled through it. I listened to about 30 seconds of it. Laughed my ass off almost, then paused the video and just kind of scrolled through YouTube to see some of the highlights without listening to any more. And it gets rough. Afro Man goes after this lady, and in classic diss track fashion, it's disturbing. Because it's so malicious and mean, but that's what a diss track is, that you catch yourself laughing at the thing you shouldn't laugh at, which I think honestly is what makes some comedy really good, right? Like it's catching a laugh out of you of something that shouldn't be funny, but like I've devised a joke in such a way that you're like, ah, okay, you got me to look at it from a different perspective. And now that I see it this way, there's some funny in there. Yeah, and it's, like I said, I haven't watched the entire video. I will watch it later. But what I saw and what was being transcribed through the closed captioning, pretty rough shit. And you know what? Honestly, here's the thing. Now, I'm going to operate off the supposition that this is being shared because the videos I've seen were shared by, I think, a local news affiliate in that area. And wow, like, I would say that the biggest issue that one might have would be the language that's being used there. And I don't know that okay, I'm never going to just be like universally back the blue. That's never going to be me. That's just dumb. I don't universally just back in universally and unilaterally just back anybody. Just offer it. You know what I mean? Like the only exception might be like, you know, well, would definitely be my mama, my immediate family, you know what I mean? I will cuss you the fuck out afterwards if you make me look like a fool, but I'm gonna have it back then. But like almost nobody else gets that kind of blanket respect and loyalty. You have to really work to get that. That said, like, well, I'm not gonna white knight for the police or anything like that. I do know how it feels when somebody makes fun of you, calls you out of your name, you know, hurts your feelings, shit like that. So like, I'm not immune to somebody's, you know, feelings being hurt and that being like, oh, that wasn't very nice. But just seeing some of the stuff that's happened to Afro Man and why he's like, well, I wouldn't have said anything if they hadn't started screwing with me. And now that they did, this is what they get. I kind of go, yeah. I mean, if y'all left this man alone, he wouldn't have had shit to say about you and the dirty shit y'all were doing. But kind of brought this one on yourselves. I mean, that FAFO is something else, right? Like when it hits, boy, it don't miss. And he's lighting them up. So I'm definitely going to look at more of this video. Screw it. I'll just post the links to the two videos that I've got, that I've seen so far. I did watch like the majority of one where the ex-wife testifying, the ex-wife of the sheriff testifying about the lyrics of Afro Man songs, and basically kind of like testifying in defense of, yeah, this isn't like defamation of character. It's just, you know, it's music. Are you taking this shit seriously? Whatever. And then the one of the sheriff's deputy that got caught lacking and paid the price because Afro Man, I guess, is like more real nigga than we thought. Like, because he's lighting her up. And I will say this with the caveat. Obviously, you guys know there's a mature rated podcast. You were talking about mature concepts and stuff like that. And obviously, the language is not an issue for me. But I will say that he goes pretty hard in the paint after this lady. And it's not the most enlightened language on the planet. He's really giving her he's putting the screws to her pretty tough. So if you're easily offended, this would be one to sit out. You find an edited version somewhere, but I guess whoever was posting these videos for this news channel or whatever, like, I don't know if it was a news channel or like a private citizen, they leaned into it. They're like, we're putting the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. They put that whole video out. So it's in all its unedited glory, and it is pretty brutal. Just want to be aware of that right now before you start watching it. Just know that that is rough stuff you're going to see. But yeah, like, you could tell, like, the chuckle I got was just because he's so juvenile about it. And it's juvenile in a way that feels merited. You know what I mean? Like, you could have just left me alone. But you had to screw with me. So now, since you were being petty and childish and, you know, punitive, I'm going to do the same thing. Difference between me and you is, you know, I could do it better and I could do it bigger. Because I've traveled the fucking world performing rap since, like, the 90s. So I got a lot of people who listen to me, and I got a big ass mouth and a microphone. That's a scary individual to screw with. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty rough. Like, and they went for it. So I mean, I don't feel bad for them. You know, I just feel like, I mean, it sucks when you get your feelings hurt, but I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, if you did that, you had that coming. You know, I wouldn't do it. It wouldn't be me. Like, I'd have to come with all my, I had to come mad correct. Like, all my ducks would have to be in a row. I'd have to have ammunition stockpiled ready to destroy you if you decided in any way, shape, or form to fight back. Because at that point, if I'm coming at you publicly and I got stuff to say about you, like, directly out of my face about you, I'm scorching the earth. Like, I'm burning the whole shit down. I'm not pulling no punches. I'm going to hit you with every combination I got. I want to bury you. You know what I mean? Like, that's how serious it is if I have to come. If I decide I'm taking it upon myself to come after you, you've earned that shit multiple times over. But I want to make sure that every time that when I body you, I'm going to Frank Castle your ass. You don't get back up. Like, so I think Afro Man took that same attitude to the sheriff's department and to these people. And he really got in that ass. Like, you could tell, like, at one point, I guess the lady starts crying. I had to skip past that part because I was like, I got stuff to do today. And like, few things make me giggle as much as when a crooked or, you know, an abusive police officer gets caught and then they start crying. That actually makes me giggle. Like, because you're the people who are supposed to be trusted to, you know, to serve the public interest. You know what I mean? You're supposed to be held to a higher, not even just legal standard, but just a higher ethical standard. We're not even going with moral, just an ethical standard. You're supposed to operate on in a more ethical manner than other people. And when you get caught breaking the law and doing wild shit and it hurts your feelings, you sad and you scared, you're the face of consequences and you cry and you're wearing that badge that our taxpayer money, you know, puts you up on that in that position. Yeah, I laugh at that. I do. I'm not even going to front and say I don't. I really do. When it was Derek Chauvin trying to cry his way out of getting sent to prison, I laugh my ass off. Anytime I see a police officer cry because they got caught doing some shit they had no business doing, it warms a special place in my heart. And I don't feel bad about that shit at all. Because policing is a very difficult and dangerous job. And I think that the people who are going to do it should be of as equally rigorous character as the rigors of the job demand. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do a tough job, you got to be tough. And you got to be, you got to be able to stand on that, that rocky soil and maintain the goodness and the ethical behavior that we would expect of somebody who's being trusted with that level of authority. And if you can't handle it, you need to quit. That's all there is to it. And nothing wrong with not being able to handle it. Lots of people couldn't handle it. That's why not everybody's a police officer. There's a reason why. It's an incredibly difficult and dangerous job. And if you're not cut out for it, quit. Quit. There's no shame in quitting if it keeps you from destroying yourself, right? Like, just do that. You can be the same shitty person you were as a cop, as a grocery store manager, bro. You just won't have the ability to murder somebody with impunity or qualified immunity. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that's the only thing that's getting you off for being in that position, then you're definitely a shitty person. But if you're just bad at the job, you could do other jobs and be bad at them and it won't damage lives and stuff. Like, I don't know. Anyway, I'm kind of, doing my thing, man. You know, I'm rambling and whatnot. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on. And the reason I'm rambling, I've had so much stuff happening in my head. Merch redesigns are coming. Oh, stream redesigns are slow, but they're happening. I'm just so tired lately, and I've been feeling this craziness. I have to call today before I get started with the stream. I have to call around and look for a primary care physician to get started with, first of all. But, like, during the days when I eat or drink anything, stomach is usually mostly fine. Unless I eat something a little wild, then I have to pay the price for it. But most of the time during the day, I'm fine. But lately, I've been noticing, like, at night, if it gets past, like, 9, 10 o'clock, no matter what I do or don't eat or drink, I start having, like, this crazy shit happening. Like, I start getting itchy for no reason. Like, I would be scratching to the point where I've actually cut myself with my own fingernails because I've scratched so incessantly in my sleep. I'll start to scratch my arms or my face or my foot or, like the back of my leg or something like that. And my joints will ache, and it really only affected me like in the evening time and at like late at night, between like 9-10 o'clock when it starts happening until like 4 or 5 in the morning, but that's like the time when I would usually be asleep, and so it's messing up my sleep schedule, so I'm not sleeping well. And then my stomach will be like just be on fire. Like, it would feel like I ate bread, but I haven't, obviously. You know what I mean? Like, when I would eat bread and I didn't know I was, like, gluten allergic, I guess, or I had a gluten allergy. It that same, like, feels like I had somebody inflate, like, a lead balloon in my stomach. It's heavy, but it's bloated, but it feels like it should. It's fucking horrible. But that's what I've been dealing with the last couple of weeks, honestly. It's like, some days it's better than others, but some nights it's fucking absolutely brutal. Night before last, I was up until 10 o'clock the following morning. That was yesterday. So I couldn't sleep all night on Tuesday night. Tuesday morning. From Monday night into Tuesday morning, I couldn't sleep at all. And I was just up. Until about 10 o'clock, 10:30, I fed the cat, went and lie down, and I was able to sleep for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. I got up, made some blueberry muffins and banana bread for my neighbors and the wife and myself, and then I went and puttered around, did some stuff, and went to lay back down. Got up just in time. Ooh, good. See, still, I'm tired still. Got up just in time to put dinner in the oven and go to do movie night with my homie. And we watched the 2001 Takeshi Beat Kitano Classic Battle Royale. If you've never seen it, just know it doesn't age very well, like the special effects and stuff like that. It's very early 2000s filmmaking. But there's a couple familiar faces that you'll notice in the film if you're fans of Japanese actors or action movies. And if you're a fan of Kill Bill in particular, there's one face that should resonate with you throughout the film. But yeah, so I was beat up over that. And then I tried to go to sleep last night, went to go lie down. Everything started hurting again. As you can tell, I'm still tired. I'm trying to wake myself up. I'm going to grab an aimbot real quick because I have a couple of those gummies left. Munch one of these real quick, and hopefully that'll give me a little bit of energy. So yeah, I've been struggling, and I'm thinking, like, the more I've been reading about this, there's some kind of medical conditions I'm worried about. So I gotta go find a doctor, get him to do, like, some tests, you know? Hey, man, run the whole battery. Blood, fecal test, urine analysis, x-ray, whatever it is you gotta do. You know what I mean? I'll drop the pants and put on, you know, you put on the glove, whatever it is you gotta do. I'm just tired of constantly being tired. I'm especially tired of my stomach being irritated in the middle of the night for no reason. Like I said, it doesn't matter what I do or don't eat or drink. Just the middle of the night. And I'm scratching, the itching is incessant. It feels like ants are crawling out of my skin. Like little tiny ants are crawling out of my skin. It's infuriating. And the worst part about it is it's not located in any one place. It's kind of like scattered all over. Like when you get chicken pox, you know, when you're a little kid and they tell you, don't scratch. I'm like, but everything itches. Except that there's no marks or rashing or anything like that. I'm just itchy. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? So I got to go to the doc, find out what's going on there. Plus, you know, you get to be a gentleman of a certain age. It's not a bad idea to go to the doc at least for a checkup, you know, they say annual checkups, but I mean, at the very barest of minimums, you got to go like every other year. In an optimal world where everybody had health insurance and, you know, we weren't at war and insurance companies. Well, if we had subsidized, you know, nationwide healthcare, we weren't constantly in, you know, having our economy ruined by false flag wars. And, you know, even if there were, at the very least, insurance companies weren't a bunch of criminals who overcharge you for services and then refuse to do anything to help increase the quality of your life. And medical professionals are actually professional, not just practitioners. Yeah, you would do that like, you know, every year, every 6 months. It'd be a thing, you would just go. But I say at the very least, you got to go at least once every 2 years. And that it's been well a long time for me. I need to go to the doctor. I need to go to the dentist. Wouldn't hurt to go to an optometrist at some point. But, you know, ifs and buts, right? The affordability, though, we're doing so great. America's, are we great yet? Did we do it? Did we make it? I'm kind of thinking we didn't. But, you know, that's going to have to happen. I got to go. And I don't like putting stuff like that off, but it's always just trying to find the time to do it. Because who the fuck's going to take me? You know what I mean? You go during normal business hours. My wife's working during those times. So I'm going to drive myself to my own fucking colonoscopy? I don't think so. But who knows? But yeah, like I said, the artwork stuff is coming along. I've been putting some stuff together on Patreon. So if you're curious about it and you're a paid member, there's an actual like sketch dump over there that you could check out. And then there's going to be another one there's going to be another one coming up at the end of the month. So keep your eyes out for that. Paid subscribers, that's for you. I'll give you a little peek into what's going on. And then, you know, later it'll show up on the Twitch channel in some part. So yeah, I gotta look into like a grant again. I think I mentioned this before. Look into a grant for like, you know, back to school, sort of like going back to college. Just second languages, art programs, stuff like that. I just, if anything would help me kind of get an edge on the, how do I put this? Like the skill sets that I need and want to do the things that I'm trying to accomplish. If I can get like a grant to go and study up on that kind of stuff, that'd be dope. So one of the other things I'm going to be looking into because, you know, it matters. It makes sense. and it's a, you know, not only is it a business expense, it's a quality of life expense that could and definitely need to be pushing towards. And we were talking about, like, you know, how crazy life has been for everybody. I'm sure the price of college is going up. I haven't bothered to look. And you know, we're all kind of like worried about what's happening with the world. I mean, you've seen the Strait of Hormuz is still under, you know, under assault. Like anything going through there is getting shot at. They're like, I hear there's like mines in the Strait too. I might have been just an offhand report. But they were saying like there are mines in the Strait. There are definitely gunships overlooking it. And be like, hey, nothing goes in, nothing goes out. But it's funny that the more they talk about that, the Brendan Carr and his FCC are threatening to just cancel broadcasters' licenses if they don't only just talk about good stuff that the Trump administration has done, which means that every news broadcast would be, if it was just that, just the good news about the Trump administration, it would probably be about like 2 minutes long. You can't sell ad revenue on that, you know what I mean? But I mean, that whole thing is going to shit. And I think they really want it to go that way. You know, billions of dollars are already being wasted in Iran, just in rockets and, you know, the deployment costs. Just getting people and things over there is costing money. Fuck trying to shoot anything. You know, I mean, forget trying to fire a missile at any targets. Just getting the stuff there costs a buttload of money. Money that the American taxpayers are going to choke on because, you know, they're not coming out. Trump's not going to come out of his pockets. He's not going to ask Mark Zuckerberg, you know, for, you know, a $500 million loan so that he can send more Tomahawk missiles. That's not going to happen. He's going to want you and me to pay for it. Because, you know, why not, right? Why not? I sometimes do think that, like, in a way, like, maybe leaving, because people, like, people give you that line, right? Especially, like, you know, super conservatives or whatever, they give you that line, like, America, love it or leave it. Bye. I mean, if I can afford to leave it, like, I think that might actually be the most financially and morally responsible way to combat, like, Trump and his regime and the MAGA movement in general. Just everybody who don't want to be here, just leave. Like, financially, it's going to be difficult, obviously, for people to just pack up and go. But I think, like, ultimately, you know, once you find a place that you can settle in to find your niche there, I think ethically, like, morally and financially, it's, like, the most responsible thing that could happen to the United States. It's like, you want this country? Fucking have it. Here, try it. See how far it gets you without the rest of us, dipshit. Like, there's an actual post that was up on, oh, my God, I want to say it was MSNBC. Or MS Now, whatever they call themselves this year. But Trump was actually asking for visas for migrant workers to come here and work the farms because all the illegals, as he wants to call them, are gone. So all the super cheap illegal labor that people were using to produce the produce, you know, get the food and veg and meat and stuff to your doors and to your grocery stores, to your doors. Since it's all been scared out of the country or deported out of the country unlawfully and without due process, now he's asking other people to come here. Like, what the fuck? Who would want to come here? Like, who in their right mind, who in their wrong mind would want to come here and be like, I'll come and work the fields for you? No, absolutely not. That's crazy. And it's bananas that, like, you know, they want to pull this kind of shit like nobody sees what's happening. And, like, we don't understand, like, the ramifications behind it. It may have taken us a minute for, well, some of us a minute to come to grips with it. But, I mean, just there's a SAVE Act clone that just passed here in the state of Florida. Essentially what they're doing is just they're just making it harder for people who don't have their actual birth name and their gender assigned at birth from their birth certificate on their driver's licenses. But that's going to screw over a lot of people who are either trans or who are married women or persons who married and took their partner's last name, no matter who you are. It's another way to just basically cull the voter records. in hopes that those people who would do such a thing, or have like maybe have like a, you know, a gender that wasn't on their birth certificate, or a last name that isn't the same as their actual last name on their birth certificate or whatever, or their driver's license, you know, if all that information doesn't line up right down the rows, they're hoping that it'll disenfranchise more liberal people, right? But, you know, think about that. If you don't have your last name the same as your one on your birth certificate, that could just be anybody, first of all, but almost any married woman. So that means not only would you be shooting a bunch of liberals in the foot, you'd be shooting your own conservative wives. And, you know, maybe your daughters who have been married. You're shooting them in the foot so they can't vote. Which I think is really what that conservative movement wants in the first place. I was listening to a podcast recently. It's the Stavi Baby podcast. It's called Stavi's World. With Stavros Halkias. And then the comedian Miss Pat was talking about, like, it's kind of rough language too, but she wasn't wrong. She's like, the reason they don't want women to do anything, and they put up these stupid, you know, airheaded women to be the face front of all this stuff, is when they act stupid and do something stupid, we're like, yeah, what do we got a dumb broad here? What does she know? It's like they put them there so they can, you know, distract them for the fact that they like the baby coochie. They that's why they're all a bunch of pedophiles. And I was like, oh. She's like, if you think about it, and like, how many bills have you seen just in the last, like, not even, no joke, this is legit. In the last 5 years, how many bills have you seen brought in primarily red states that have sought to either lower the age of that a person can work, and or lower the age at which a person can be considered a consenting adult, and or be the age at which a person can be married? I want to say there was one, I know it was in the Southwest that they did this. They've done it a bunch out there, which is really crazy and weird, where they're trying to lower the age of marriage to 14. And in some cases, I think it was as low as 12, but I'd have to confirm that report. I know it was at 14. Shit. I don't want to get it wrong, because like I said, Southwest is where I feel like I heard that first. Yeah. I remember, one of the bands that I was talking about was like, basically it was in West Virginia, where they were trying to, raise the age at which a person could seek a marriage certificate, basically legally get married, to 18. At that time it was 16 was the lowest base age. And then below 16, it could be approved with a judge's signature. So you'd have to go before a judge and be like, hey, I want to marry this baby. And the judge could be like, sure. That still happens. But, the Salt Lake Tribune's reporting about this one bill, and this is probably one of the places I heard from. LDS Church President Dalen Oaks hopes to lower missionary ages, and that will lead to lower marriage ages. This is so fucking gross. This is what this dude says. By the way, this guy, if you get a photograph of this, I might actually have to put this in the link dump too. I don't know. Maybe not. Just look up Dalen Oaks, D-A-L-L-I-N Oaks. Without an E, O-A-K-S. He looks like the Crypt Keeper. But he's the head of the Church of Latter-day Saints in the state of Utah. And, oh, God, this is so gross. Is it, in the time that we've lowered the age for young men and young women in the past, we've seen an increase in people who meet someone in the mission field and marry them, he says, which is perfectly appropriate if it doesn't start too early in their missionary service. Not if they're too young to get married and understand the ramifications of being bonded to another person, as far as the Bible's concerned, for the rest of your life, and to handle the sexual politics and ramifications of having people who are so young that they barely understand a checkbook, you know, or how to handle, you know, tax, like filing their taxes. But we're allowing them to get married and to start lives together and possibly have children, obviously, which is their big goal. Like, one of the big goals for the, you know, for this conservative Christian nationalist movement is make them have babies. Who gives a shit how many of them can read or write or have a decent future? We just need the numbers. We need bodies of ignorant people to throw at everything. He says, perfectly appropriate if it doesn't start too early in the missionary service. He says, part of the Lord's plan is to overcome the tendency of waiting until the late 20s to have a first marriage, not a marriage. Notice that, he didn't say it. A first marriage. I think we will see a reduction in the age of marriages for Latter-day Saints. The 93-year-old church, 93, and his wife have encouraged younger Latter-day Saints before not to delay marriage and having children. This is just so wild. And I mean, he's 93. I don't know. His wife's got to be in her, like, you know, late 70s or something like that. Maybe early 70s. So I can see why he might want to. He's like, it's going to be weird if I marry a 12-year-old, but you're all right. I'm like, God bless America. Really? They're just both repulsive to look at. I got to click away from this or I'll vomit. But yeah, that's one of those things that they're like, yeah, we get them while they're young. Like I said last week about, like, you know, Jeffrey Epstein being in talks with the CEO of Activision Blizzard back in the day on trying to encourage microtransactions and how to basically weaponize youth and innocence and naivete to get people into using their money to fund their ecosystem. And then, you know, once you get them when they're young and they're hooked in on this product, you can get them in all kinds of other sorts of insidious ways. Gross. But yeah, that's what they're pushing for. That's what they're pushing for. And Miss Pat called it out. She's like, we're actually watching white people steal America all over again. I was like, whoa. I mean, hot take. I mean, maybe it's a spicy take. I don't know if it's hot. I mean, it's accurate, right? I mean, just look at all the ways in which the oligarchical push that happened at the beginning of Trump's, you know, the campaign for his second term and his third term that he's currently, well, that's third term. I mean, that's third election. The third election run, like that's the thing that he was pushing. So we get more whites. We got to get rid of the Somalis. Can we just have some Norwegians, you know, some Scandinavians? You wanted some more, you know, blonde hair, blue eye, white people. I was like, you're not going to get rid of us that easy, my guy. And here's the other thing too. If you get rid of us, who the fuck going to do the work? Like I said earlier, who's going to do all that work? He's like, you know, and the people are false flagging, you know, Jasmine Crockett for comments that she made, you know, saying like, she's like, when she was talking about, you're not going to get, you know, you want to do all this stuff to push immigrants and whatnot out of the country. Like, she's like, basically, keep it real. You're not going to get us into picking cotton. Like, we're not going back. So you better figure some other shit out. And even, I forget that lady's name, some stupid Latina Trump lover was like, I know, Jasmine, you're going to try to get us back into the fields. You think we're picking cotton? I'm like, you should. It's not for nothing, but if you're this fucking dumb that that's what you thought she said, maybe a career in politics and entertainment is not for you. You should probably stay out of the spotlight as much as possible. You probably should avoid sunlight too, but you're going to have to go, you have to do something. So get your ass in the fields. I don't care. I'm tired of trying to pretend like I want to preserve those kinds of feelings of people who couldn't possibly care about others. You don't have any compassion or empathy for your other fellow human beings. Fuck you too. I don't have it anymore. I really don't. Like some would say, I ain't got the spoons to put up with you. And your lack of empathy and consideration or humanity towards your fellow human beings. And you know, it's that thing where people are like, it's okay to punch Nazis, and they're saying, like, you know, pedophiles should get the death penalty, stuff like that. You've heard these stances being taken before. And I find it hard to argue against something like that when I see the notion of somebody who doesn't believe that other people possess humanity just by the very basic stance of they are human. To me, that doesn't speak of a human mindset. Like, that doesn't show me that you are a human. It shows me, if anything, that you're inhuman. Like, you treat human beings the same way that, like, you know, a great white shark would treat human beings if they were hungry enough. You know, everything is predatory for you. And you got to wonder where that ugliness and that kind of, you know, barbarism comes from. I was talking to my mom about this just recently, and I've had that same thought. It's like, where does that kind of evilness and ugliness come from? What is it about you that makes you just want to devour and destroy other people. Like, and you know, you can see it in no matter what, you know, no matter what political spectrum you're on, no matter what, you know, ethnic or racial or cultural, like, you know, or religious stance you take, there are evil people that are out there that are just horrible. And you're like, oh, you know, so I'm trying to think of what's like, we need a, like a separate prison for you. You should have your own jail. You're just a terrible person. It's scary, but it's true. I mean, it's gotten so bad now that like, soldiers are actually refusing to deploy to Iran. They're like, I'm not going. I mean, I've talked about this before on the podcast. It's like, it's going to come to the point where soldiers are going to go like, I'll risk getting court-martialed. You know, I'll risk, you know, whatever I have to do to not participate in something that I'm morally and ethically opposed to. Not to mention contractually obligated to not follow an unconstitutional order to go and invade another country because this act of war has not been ratified by Congress. So you're asking me to overtly break the law. And then you're telling me if I don't do it, you're going to send me to jail. Send me to fucking jail then. I'd rather go with my conscience clear than go knowing I'm going to be ordered to, you know, drop missiles on schools or on innocent populations. That's not what I want to do. There are videos of units that are just standing down en masse, burning orders and stuff like that, and then leaving pre-deployment training. So the rumors out there are out there. I want to find some more videos of this. I have seen some video of, and it's kind of hard to find because obviously even on a platform like YouTube and even on the internet in general, a lot of this information ends up getting suppressed so that, you know, persons like you and I can't find it and will feel like we're more alone than we actually are. But that's not the case. That is not the case at all. I know that there's good stuff out there too. It's not all gloom and doom. There's good stuff happening out there. You gotta look a little harder for it. You know? Here's a good thing. For all his millions or billions, Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, remember when our stupid-ass government declared war on Iran and then left Americans stranded at the United States embassy to Iran? And was like, you shouldn't be there, but we ain't gonna help. Yeah. Shad Khan uses the Jaguars' own team plane to evacuate people from Iran. So this dude's like, our government won't help, I will. And he flew the Jacksonville Jaguars team. Can you imagine how dope that had to be too? Not have to take a fucking Delta flight, but you get to fly on a multi-million dollar jet that an NFL team gets to use? Bro, that plane cannot be shabby. You know what I mean? The NFL don't do cheap like that. Not anymore. Just imagine, like, you went over there on like a C-130 on a jump flight, and now all of a sudden you're getting flewed out before a war on a, you know, 757 jumbo jet. Sitting in like white and tan, white and teal leather seats. You know what I mean? Like, that must be, what a step up. And at that point, if you work for the consulate or the embassy, quit. I'm like, fuck no, I'm not going over there. Not until we get some reasonable people back in office. I'll get any other job before I do this shit again. That's the other thing with the AI shit too. Like I said, this AI bullshit is going to get people a lot of trouble. You know, everybody's saying, oh, AI is taking this job and that job and this job and that job. We can replace them with this. We can make more money if we don't have to pay people. Yeah, meanwhile, like we've seen what the server banks do to places, you know, where they put them up, you know, destroying the water, ruining the electronic infrastructure. You have brownouts for the people who are just trying to live and work in the areas around where these AI data centers are. The one, remember the 60 Minutes thing, I put it in the chat a while, not chat, put it in the podcast notes a while back where these people were sitting there and the lights from the AI data center were literally lighting up their entire living room in the interior of their house like it was daylight through their glass door. Like, it looked like it was, you know, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning just because of how bright the fucking lights were there. Like, that's unhealthy and unnatural. But this AI bullshit is going to get somebody killed or hurt at some point. Because, you know, people don't understand they don't understand the ramifications behind just shoveling AI into everything and using it to do all this stuff that it wasn't necessarily intended for, is making things worse. It's making the news worse. It's making people's social interactions via social media and through just media in general. People are getting more, they're getting more suspicious of what they see and read and hear, or they just buy in full bore and they're like, I'm down. You probably have seen some news reports about this AI generated model, we'll put it that way, that is allegedly styled after being like a MAGA leaning Republican, you know, blonde haired, blue eyed white girl that the computer cooked up. She's supposed to be a soldier, but sometimes she's in, you know, a U.S. Army garb. Sometimes it's, you know, navy blues. Sometimes it's in Marines dress. So she's apparently like a super soldier. Works every branch of the United States military. And these people are so fucking dumb that they just buy it hook, line, and sinker. To the point where whoever created these, and I can't hate the hustle. Like I said, a fool and their money are soon parted, right? Created an AI OnlyFans. So this thing has an OnlyFans account where it sells pictures of its feet. to these thirsty, horned up MAGA nut jobs who just want to, you know, spank it to an AI blonde lady. Like, I get that, you know, your Republican lawmakers have made, you know, porn sites illegal in most states that you live and work and operate in. And I'm sorry for that. That must really be tough for you in your loneliness. But an AI porn bot, bro? Like, come on. I mean, you're looking for AI porn bots. You've already got Erica Kirk and Christy Noem. Like, just deal with what you got. You put them on TV every day. Just handle that. You know what I mean? Just live with that. And I've said this for a while, that they both look like that fucking weird-ass android I was trying to mimic facial expressions from human beings, particularly Erica Kirk. Erica Kirk looks like they finally managed to get skin on the thing and put it out in the world. Watching her attempt to emulate human emotions is one of the most hilarious and terrifying things I think I've seen in a very, very long time. And it's gross. But I love that this AI stuff is getting, it's getting these people to lose their money, which, I mean, so what? Screw them. It is causing enough misinformation that it's going to get somebody in some serious trouble. It's funny to ha-ha about this thing, like, oh my God, you got taken in by a fake porn bot. That's funny. But, I mean, that's been happening since the internet began. You know, back in those old AOL chat rooms, and somebody would be like, ASL, oh, I am, 21, female, New Jersey. Sure you are. You're talking to a 55-year-old dude that we've known that kind of thing happens for a long time. But now with the amount of AI that's being pulled into, mass media conglomerates, entertainment, and even independent news and media sources, it's only a matter of time before enough of this cloudy AI misinformation ends up getting dispersed that somebody's going to think this thing is real. And oh my God, we have to take action now. And innocent people are going to get hurt because somebody's too stupid to know that it was, computer generated. I mean, that's part of the funky thing that's going on with like BB Netanyahu, where they're saying that, like, is he dead?
Is he dead?
Like the supposition being that like he's missed a bunch of state meetings and appointments for X, Y, or Z conference or such and such. And then he puts out these crazy videos. And, there's obviously some editing that's being done to some degree. People are disputing whether or not the videos themselves are AI generated. But I think one of the things that people aren't disputing is the time and the timing of the videos being put out. It's like, oh, it's being done like 2 days before he was supposed to be at this place to do this thing. And, he's on the run, is my supposition. other people have made that assumption as well. Is that, like, you know, I mean, he knows he ain't no business doing this shit to Iran, and he's just closer to Iran than you know Trump is. So, I mean, if Iran was as close to the U.S. as it is to Israel, like, Trump would only be playing golf in Yosemite National Forest. You know what I mean? Or, like, every other week he'd be in some, he'd be on one side of the United States or the other, but you'd never see Air Force One take off. You know what I mean? Like, he would be doing the exact same shit, but he don't have to because he lives in America. But Netanyahu, he's like just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Iran. So it's like he got to keep himself under wraps. It's crazy, but I mean, this is what they wanted. So, I mean, I don't feel bad for the dude. To hell with him. You know? I'm not going to white knight for Israel for nothing. You know what I mean? The Israeli human beings and people, you know, I'm pretty sure that not all of them are on board with this craziness that's happening. And I'm sure that there's way more than not that want, you know, peace in the Middle East kind of thing. But, you know, also they're like, yeah, man, let the Palestinians have that place. We don't need it. We got other stuff going on. I would rather them have this place and my children be alive than, you know, risk life and limb for us to have like an extra couple hundred square miles of space. So the fuck what? Let them have it. You know? It's really weird. It's really weird. And then, like I said, with the AI stuff going on, going analog might actually save society. And at the very least, it could save America. Taking yourself offline and like unplugging from a lot of this extra digital stuff. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with having your computer, your video game console, your cell phone. You know what I mean? It's the way in which we've made them so completely intertwined into our daily lives that if they were taken away today, most people, like, I'll say, that is a little flamboyant of a claim. Let me not do that. I would say that there's a significant portion of the population who, if you strip them of all of their technology today and drop them somewhere where they had to exist without most of their, I mean, computerized technology. Yeah, you can still have flushing toilets. You can still have refrigeration. Yeah, I mean, you can have a clock, you know, but you're not allowed to have a laptop or a cell phone or a video game console or a flat screen TV, you know, none of that kind of stuff with computer chips in it. We got to take all that stuff away from you. I think a lot of people would, there's a significant enough chunk of people that would cave in mentally that's a reason why we don't do that, you know. It's the same reason why if everybody just quit Amazon today, this nation would grind to a halt. We'd figure it out within like a week or two, but like for the first 2 weeks, it would be fucking chaos. So many people don't know how to live without Amazon's leash wrapped around their throat and up their ass. Like, it's embarrassing, you know? Like the idea of, oh, we need something from the store, I'll go get it. No, I'll just DoorDash it. Why? Why? For a 28% markup on the fucking thing that we need, it's deodorant and toothpaste. I could go get that. I could walk to get the shit. You know what I mean? You don't need that shit. But, you know, I see why people lean into it. And the AI doesn't help because anytime they can find a way to make it more autonomous and less human, they're gonna. We've already seen the Waymo cars. We've seen the delivery driver robot cars. They're putting them here in Jacksonville where their driverless cars are going to be part of like the transit authority. Forget trying to bring back cheap and affordable or cheaper and affordable mass transit via trains or even adding more buses to the fleet. Let's just put some robot cars on the street. As crazy as Jacksonville drivers are in the first fucking place, there's a great idea. Put a car up there with nobody at the wheel. Word? In Jacksonville's internet infrastructure? Good luck. Good luck. The first time one of those things drives itself off the Dames Point, I'm going to be like, I told you. I told you. Or drives in front of a train. When the gates are down, it drives itself around. Rerouting. It's like, you can't reroute between the gates that it's, oh no. Tell you, only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. Yeah. the AI going into everything is funny as fuck to me, because that's also one of the things that Microsoft is trying to push now with their new console, the Helix, Project Helix. Now, a lot of stuff's been coming out of the game developers conference that just went this past week. I've seen a couple of people that I used to follow and still do follow a little bit on Twitch. But I used to follow them back when I was on Instagram and X, Twitter, whatever the fuck you're calling it. And they've gone to GDC and they're like, yeah, check out this. And they're posting about the Project Helix. I'm going to warn you right now. I'm going to say it here so I can say that I've said it. I can't ride for Xbox in this upcoming console generation. I can't do it. Now, I've been a big proponent of Xbox for many years. Anybody who knows me well enough knows that that's the case. And back when Game Pass first came through, and even in the early days of the Xbox One and the Xbox Series consoles, I was still a fan. I was still holding out a lot of hope for Xbox. No mas. Ever since they jumped the shark with this whole "this is an Xbox" thing, trying to make your Xbox playable on your cell phone, your tablet, your fucking microwave, which ultimately was, for being quite honest, has ultimately been a failure. I know I went and looked at some of the backbone kind of devices that we were supposed to put your phone into, and it would turn it into like a handheld console for Xbox. And even tried the cloud gaming for Xbox on my phone. None of it works well. Most of it is garbage. Like the handheld, conversion backbone devices, they're so cost intensive that it's not worth that. I have a console. I have an Xbox. It has controllers. I'd just rather play on the console. And if I can't play while I'm on the go, well, guess what? I just don't get to play. The ROG Ally handheld being not as robust as a Steam Deck from what I've heard, but also costing as much as a Steam Deck with like that limited library. Not a great move. Not the coolest thing you could do. But, everybody has to have it.
Yeah.
I just don't think that this Project Helix is going to be it. And now they've also put up a thing. They put out a video recently from GDC about, I saw this on YouTube, about what it would look like. This is also courtesy of the homie Zero Pain. What it would look like if you had an AI assistant helping you with your video game. So if you're looking for like a tip or trick, the AI assistant would kick in. That's the Microsoft Copilot, by the way, would kick in and start talking to you. And I'm like, bro, that's not Copilot talking to you. They paid some dude to read that script to make it sound like it was doing this shit for you. Don't try to fool me, man. Like, don't try to do this. It sounded like the same canned fun that a lot of demos were doing back in like the early 2010s. When they were talking about, oh, this is the next new game coming from such and such studio. Ubisoft was a big abuser of this. They'd be like, all right, everybody load up on me. Dan, you gonna be there?
Just a minute, I'm grabbing some chips.
Okay, we'll wait here in the lobby until it's time for us to go. Everybody readied up? All right.
Let's hit it. I got your six, man.
Like, come on. Come on. That is not what... This, first of all, whoever the voice was, that's not what Copilot sounds like. I bet money on that. Like, there might be, like, there are multiple options. It doesn't sound that smooth and that human. The only way it does is if the Copilot is actually Frank and they crammed his ass into your console. Yeah, and there's a little tiny man that lives in your console. That's the only way it sounds that way. And then there were some reports that were coming out of GDC where, like, Xbox is trying to, like, fudge Helix developers' kits and saying, like, oh, we got dev kits out to people right now. But like a lot of the photos that were coming up were actually photos of the old Project Scorpio, which is what they were calling the Xbox Series X and S console as they were starting to push those dev kits out. So you've got like almost a decades old photo of a developer's kit that was for a console that's currently out right now. And you're touting that it's the new console dev kit. Some eagle-eyed, just kind of like internet sleuths that were out there were like, oh, look at this. there's either metadata in the photo, or there's like, you know, some kind of other tagging information that says either this photo is old, or they're taking photos of old dev kits and saying that those are going to go out as Project Helix. Neither of which is necessarily a good thing. Although, I mean, if you think about it, the former is worse because that means they don't have shit and they haven't bothered to fix anything up. The latter is not as bad because really what you're doing is you're shipping it in a case. You know what I mean? The dev kit's like the guts, the nuts and bolts and the brains. Really, it's not even the guts. It's just the brains of the unit so that developers can get a look at how they would use the processing power of, you know, your motherboard, your GPU and all that jazz to create a game. Now, they don't even necessarily even have to include the other bits and pieces like a liquid cooling system like the Series X has, or a disk drive or any other of that stuff. You just need the brains of this thing to know how it thinks and operates. So you can put it in any shell. I mean, you can put it in a toaster for all I give a shit, which is not a big deal. But like if you're fudging stuff, not a great look. Doesn't instill a lot of confidence. I don't know. I do know that there's a lot of stuff that's going on in gaming that doesn't make me feel great. The AI stuff into the Project Helix is one of them. Don't like the idea of Project Helix being just this amorphous thing. I would say if we were going to talk about Project Helix, it would have been interesting to announce maybe the code name and teasing like a prospective, like a projected date in the future where you could actually show a little bit more of the console's hardware. But then there's this other phenomenon that's coming up. We were just talking about this the other night in Discord. Let me see if I can pull this real quick. It wasn't too long ago when we were talking about how crazy it is that they're just stuffing random, I don't know how you put this. That's the gaming news one. Well, shit. I'm having a tough time finding it. I think I got it. Here it is. We were talking about NVIDIA's new DLSS5 AI-powered graphics technology, which is basically turning everything into like the AI videos that you see on social media or whatever. Everything has that like polished, overly rendered look. It looks very plasticine. Like, it makes everything kind of look like it was, like the best way to put it probably is that, like, that plasticine kind of look that you see on, like, you know, late 2000-aughts claymation stuff, where it's kind of smooth, and almost everything kind of has, like, almost an oily kind of sheen to it, and, like, a haze. There's a haze that comes off of it. So, the DLSS5 is designed to hopefully do real-time ray tracing. And what it does is it says it uses real-time neural rendering that increases the photorealistic lighting in pixels. So essentially it's like causing more light bloom and more light diffusion throughout the layers of pixels that make up a 3D image or asset. But it does end up giving everything a very airbrushed over look is probably the best way to put it. It looks gross. It looks weird. It changes the models in a lot of ways. I'll see if I can find that video. Actually, I'm not going to see if I can find the video. There is a video from the homie Mighty Keith. Again, thanks to the homie Zero Pain for dropping that one for us. Dropping a little bit of knowledge as always. And if you watch the video and you see the way that NVIDIA is trying to push this, the use of this technology is attempting to cut out the creativity and the uniqueness of human art. And it won't be long if they keep pushing this kind of shit before you'll start to see a second video game crash. Like, this industry will crash again like it did back in the 80s. And it's probably about time for a fresh infusion of blood and creativity and ingenuity to take over and take the reins of the video gaming industry. as someone who was young enough at, well, old enough at the time to remember it, but young enough to not fully grasp the ramifications of the video game crash, looking back and seeing it and then seeing what's coming and what looks to be on the horizon, it's a very difficult and terrifying time, especially for someone who's always wanted to work in video games and to work in creative media. I feel like I was too young to catch the wave back then, and now I'm too old to, you know, ride the new waves, as you know, to ride the coast, like the outflow as it hits back and the next wave coming in. I'll be too old to catch that one. So, kind of a man without a country. All I can do right now is just enjoy the stuff that I get to play and report on what I see, which I'm totally down with doing, but I would love to do more. And it also makes me worry about the future of this this industry that I've come to love and be, you know, be at least somewhat associated with. What I'd really love to do is to be able to go to a convention like PAX East. I would say TwitchCon, but I don't want to give Jeff Bezos any more money. But any other kind of gaming convention that I could attend over the next, like, you know, 6 months to the next year, I'd love to do that. And if you know of one that you'd like, think, hey, man, you'd really enjoy this one, send me a message on Patreon or on Blue Sky. Patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios or Blue Sky is w1studios.bsky.social. I'd like to hear your input too. You know, if maybe there's a smaller gaming convention that I'm not aware of, that you'd be like, hey, I think that you would get in over here. Maybe they do a press pass and I get to go there as press and maybe interview some creators. That would be super fun. I'd love to be able to do that. But who knows? I just think that there needs to be more of a personal, like, part of the thing that makes games fun is playing them with people, you know, and playing them as people and experiencing that stuff together and seeing somebody else's creativity come out and shine. It's a wonderful thing. You know, I mean, I know that this is a more corporate kind of look, but Mario plus Rabbids, having so much fun going back and playing that game. The people who came up with that, even though it was Ubisoft and Nintendo and, you know, two giant companies together, I get it. But it was fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm playing it on stream. We're having some laughs over it. And there's other games that I'm looking forward to playing as well. Replaced is another one. Remember I talked about Keymailer and how I thought like Keymailer could be like a really big thing for me. If they would ever email me back or like even accept when I'm like, hey, I'm requesting a key. And if they would at least answer those requests, I'd probably get some shit going. I would love to do more streams like that, but there's one called, I mean, there's Replaced. Mouse PI for Hire. I was very interested in that. Ariana and the Elder Codex for the Nintendo Switch. There's a couple of games that are out there that I would love to get a hold of, a key, do some content creation for. I don't mind putting this stuff out via social media. I don't mind making a dedicated podcast just talking about those games. But I got to get the key first, otherwise I can't say shit, you know? So I don't know if they're out there and listening. You know, it's hard to reach people on Blue Sky because most of them have not bothered to exercise this platform, which would open up a lot of doors for them, I think. But, you know, change is tough for a lot of these people who are set in their ways. That's why I try to have a little bit more neuroplasticity, even as a guy who's going to be in his, he's going into that 50-year-old stage coming up pretty soon. And I want to stay as nimble mentally, emotionally, physically, obviously, as I possibly can. So trying to keep it moving, baby. Trying to keep it moving. That's why I don't like the idea of key cards. Nintendo's leaning into it some more. That's one of the reasons why I have, you know, Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Not Kingdom Battle. Spark of Hope is a virtual key card. I don't own that game. I'm basically leasing it from Nintendo, which I don't like. And I think more people are going to understand, like, it's not, you didn't buy shit. You're basically renting the game for the cost of this. And then when they've decided that they've done, you know, they've met their lease agreement basically for your game, they can just turn it off and you don't have it no more. So, you know, all that is, right? If purchase isn't ownership, then piracy isn't theft. Just calling it how we see it. You know what I mean? Not encouraging it. I'm just saying this is how people are going to look at it. You got to understand that. It's, there's no way around it. You either let the people own the thing or you deal with the fact that they're going to, you know, pirate it and emulate it, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it because they'll keep sharing it for time immemorial. They'll just keep doing it. You won't get shit out of it, you know? And people will do more to hand it through secondary markets. So anyway, yeah, I think that that's going to end up being the one of the killing shots for gaming as well. AI being into everything and trying to use AI to replace human beings' creativity and artistry. And then, you know, digital ownership. I'm using air quotes, digital ownership of shit. We're already seeing some of the backlash against Marathon, which is pretty rough. Because if you go and look at Marathon on the Xbox Live Store, it's trending up at like a 4.3 out of 5 stars. But if you start reading the reviews, some of those negative reviews are people going like, I've tried to review this game because I played this flight and I played this alpha section and now I've had the game because I pre-ordered it. And I've tried to review it 3 times and Xbox or Microsoft has had my review taken down. Not a good look for Xbox or Microsoft, if that's true. I'm just saying that there are reports out there of them trying to shit can bad reviews so that it looks like it's better than it is. But I mean, the sales numbers aren't telling any lies. A lot of people aren't buying it. People either got keys for it and are playing it because they had keys, or, you know, they got a demo version. They play just the demo version and bounce out. There's a handful of fools who will buy like a collector's edition of this thing, even though there've been art theft scandals about this game since like the beginning. And Bungie just is notorious for doing that kind of thing and trying to settle out of court. So I'm more liable to believe a creator that says our art was stolen by Bungie than not. But also the dreadful player counts that are happening, particularly on Steam, which is where the majority of what it looks like the player base is PC players, not as many console players. But when the majority of your player base is on PC, but the players are falling off and dropping like flies week to week, it's not good looks. It's really not. And it's sad to see how the mighty have fallen because, you know, Bungie was and has always been one of the preeminent gaming studios out there. But it is what you get when you don't listen to your fans. You lost your way, turned your back on Xbox, and then you started shitting all over the fans that helped make you who you are. This is what you get. So, and I did say it before, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I was hoping that Marathon would fail, and it looks like it's about to. You're going to be another Highguard. Keep fucking around. You'll last a little longer than Highguard, but not much. Not much longer. But yeah, let's close this up. Let's put a bow on this. You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to drop something that I just saw today, and I'm excited about it. I know that I will not be available on the day that this comes out. Spider-Man Brand New Day just dropped a trailer, and if you haven't seen it, you'll have one attached in the description of this podcast. So keep your eyes peeled for that. It looks great. It looks confusing, but it also looks great. It would be worth going to your local, you know, secondhand shop, seeing if you can find a DVD or Blu-ray copy of the Spider-Man Marvel films with Tom Holland and maybe catch up on that. And if you're still subscribed to Disney Plus, and I don't know why you would be, if you are, maybe you'll get a peek at that, you know. If you found somewhere to yo-ho-ho the movie, you know, do what you gotta do. But yeah, give them a peek before you watch the trailer. It might open up a little bit of memory and some recollection there. But like, oh, I remember why this thing happened. This is what they're doing now? Oh my God. Yeah, I want to go see this movie. Like, I really want to go see this movie. I'm going to try to apply for a press pass, though. Like, the less money I have to give Disney, the better. So if I can get a press pass to watch this shit for free, I will. It does look cool. I hate to say that, but, I mean, come on. There's a lot of wonderful, creative, talented people that work at Disney that have nothing to do with their shitty parent companies and the political games they're playing, you know. So I got to give them props. And I like Tom Holland. The kid's great. But we'll wrap it up with the best news, in news that nobody cared about except for me. And I'm stoked about it. K-pop Demon Hunters You know it. You love it. Everybody's crazy about it. K-pop Demon Hunters takes home 2 Oscars at this year's Oscars Awards. So congratulations to them. So congratulations to Maggie Kang and producer Michelle Wong, who are the first people of South Korean descent to ever win in the animated feature category, by the way. Good, 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 good. Chris Appelhans was also one of the co-directors. So congratulations to them, the entire cast. K-pop Demon Hunters took home the Oscar for Best Animated Feature and Best Song, and that's pretty damn awesome. And then in probably significantly more happier people of color news, black people news, the homie Michael B. Jordan wins the Best Actor Oscar, one of the most coveted Oscars ever. Goes to Michael B. Jordan for his dual role in the film Sinners, which highlights that if you're going to do something as a black person in America, you have to do it twice as good as a white person to get half as much recognition. just got to put it out there. He had to play 2 dudes to get an Oscar. I mean, Michael B. Jordan's been in some pretty dope shit, but just to get an Oscar, get an Oscar, period, he had to play 2 dudes. You can take that and however you want to, but this is what had to happen. But congratulations. I'm being silly, but I'm also being honest. But also, congratulations to Michael B. Jordan. Very well deserved. Sinners is a fantastic film. It's super fun. And it does have like some very esoteric moments in it. I think that people are going to be like, why is that happening? But I think if you kind of think about the way that like the whole story, the premise of the story would work, it kind of makes a little bit more sense. I know when I first saw it, I was like, what in the hell? Then I started watching it like again a second time when it came out on HBO Max, which I believe is where it is right now. And I'm like, okay. I was catching it in theater, but like as I watched it again, I'm like, yeah, kind of, I can understand where this would kind of play in a little bit, you know? But yeah, I think it was a fantastic film. I'll be honest, if I'm being 100% honest, I don't think it was quite at the level of Best Film Oscar, but it had enough fantastic performances in it that it probably deserved more than it got. And I haven't seen this, whatever, this Every War, whatever the fuck, All Together, All at Once, kind of, I don't know what it is. But, and people are saying it's the movie of the year. I'm like, sure. I've heard a lot of people that I know are like, this movie's weird as shit. I don't understand it. It wasn't that great. Don't know. Can't tell you. But doesn't matter. Michael B. Jordan won Best Actor. That's all I'm here to talk about right now. So yeah, hopefully this will open the door for even more people of color, no matter who they are. Whether they're South Korean, whether they're, you know, North Lebanese, whether they're, you know, from North Philly. To show up and to show and prove that, you know, there's more colors in the crayon box than just white. And especially when it comes to making films, we got chops too. So we deserve our flowers at the, you know, at all those seats that are at every table. We deserve a seat at every table. And so do you. I encourage you to go out, see something fun, do something interesting, get out of your house for a little bit. I know it's cold for some of you, but if it's, you know, even if it is just running down to the local whatever the fuck and checking it out for a little bit and going right back home, get out of the house for a little while, you know, go and see a little bit of something, go to a show, go to a farmer's market, you know, go to your local coffee shop for just even just a coffee for and a donut for like an hour and then go back home. Go out and do a thing, interact with a people. Trust me when I say it will enrich your life, and you don't know the ways in which it'll happen unless you fucking try. So I'm getting out of here. It's time for me to get ready for my stream today. You probably will see me if you're listening to this. You've already either been watching me and you know it's coming up at 3 p.m. or you're hoping it'll show up at 3 p.m. because I'm almost always late, but it will happen today. Yeah, thank you guys so much for all the love. Thank you for boosting the listens up this week, man. It's getting better every week, and I'm super excited. I'm really looking forward to being able to show off these numbers and say, hey, I deserve to go to this thing as press and be able to interview some people and put some cool stuff like that up on the podcast. So keep sending these, sending, annoying your friends with it, dropping if you get the QR code, post it up on social media, you see me on social media, repost it, share it, whatever. I really love that. I'd love to be able to go to, maybe I get to go to GDC next year and check out what's new and on the cutting edge of technology over there. Maybe I get invited to a movie premiere to do a red carpet or maybe even like a screener kind of thing. Who knows? The future's big, it's bright, and we're going to catch it. So, yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Love y'all so much. And, let me get out of here. I'll catch you wanderers a little further down the road. Peace.